In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was just thinking, I really don't need to preach a sermon tonight. We could just read those beautiful words of that beautiful hymn, and that's pretty much all we need to know. What a marvelous, marvelous gift to our church this hymn will be in the years to come. It's a hymn written by Cantor Resch at the seminary, and it outlines everything that we believe about Christ's Word and the gifts that He gives us through His Word. But I know you would all be disappointed if I said we're going to forego the sermon, so here we go. Last week we began our sermon series by focusing on the first of Christ's three advents, His coming into the world to accomplish the world's salvation. The fact that Christ has come is a fundamental article of the Christian faith. All Christians believe that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary in the flesh of Jesus, that He lived a perfect, sinless, holy life, fulfilling God's holy law, suffered and died on a cross, rose on the third day, and ascended into heaven. You cannot be a Christian if your confession does not match what Scripture says about the Christ who came. Those who claim to be Christian but deny the virgin birth of Christ are not Christian. Those who claim to be Christian but deny the resurrection of Christ are not Christian. Those who claim to be Christian but deny the deity of Christ are not Christian. Those who claim to be Christian but deny that Christ fully accomplished the world's salvation and teach that it is up to us to complete the work that Christ only began are not Christian. Of course, we don't like to talk that way in our world today, do we? We don't like to point the finger of judgment at others. After all, it's not polite to do such things. Who are we to say who is or who is not a Christian? We need to live and let live. We need to accept people for who they are and what they believe. Just because they don't adhere to our beliefs about Christianity doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong. They're just different kinds of Christians. That's all. Instead of pointing out what we believe to be their faults, we should simply agree to disagree on some points and concentrate on those things that we can agree upon. Isn't that what the spirit of Christianity is all about, after all? Before we go pointing to the finger at others and showing them their faults, maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? It's a good question. What would Jesus do? What would He say to those who don't believe He is who He claims to be and has done what His Word claims that He has done? How would He treat those who teach false doctrine, denying what His Holy Word declares about Him? Oh, wait a minute. We know exactly what Jesus would do, don't we? We know what He would say to those who don't believe what His Word declares, for He ran into such people during His earthly ministry. Let's see. What did He do? What did He say? Well, that's right. Woe to you, you hypocrites, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You don't belong to me. You don't know my Father. You are children of the devil, and you belong to the synagogue of Satan. Strong words, aren't they? That's not the Jesus we like to think about too often. That's not very politically correct. Not very accommodating. Jesus wouldn't do very well in our society today, for He is not willing to agree to disagree, to live and let live, to accept everyone for who they are and what they believe. His message is exclusive and uncompromising. He's the one who says, as you know full well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And his enduring message and stern warning to those who don't accept his holy word at any point is, many will say to me on the last day, Lord, Lord, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The Christ who came had no problem pointing his finger of judgment at false teachers and non-believers and saying to them, you don't belong to me. You are not Christians. And yet, we're told in our world today, even by those who claim to be Christians, especially by those who claim to be Christians, that we ought not do such things. But what does any of this have to do with tonight's theme, Christ is coming? A lot. You see, my friends, the Christ who came is still coming to us just as He promised. He comes to us through His precious means of grace, His holy word and sacraments. That's what all three of our readings tonight declare. St. Paul says to Titus and makes it clear that Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes to us and saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which, of course, refers to the sacrament of holy baptism. St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians in no uncertain terms that Christ comes to us by means of his very body and blood in the Holy Supper. In fact, he even declares, whether we want to hear it or not, that those who partake of the sacred supper without discerning or recognizing that they are eating and drinking the very body and blood of Christ do so to their detriment, reaping judgment upon themselves. And then St. Paul tells us in Romans that Christ comes through the preaching and teaching of His Word to work faith in those who hear it. The Lutheran question is, what does all this mean? It means that the same Jesus Christ who came to accomplish our salvation continues to fulfill His promise He made as He ascended into heaven, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He fulfills this promise by coming to us in the way He has established, by means of His word and sacraments. He is with us in the divine service to give us His gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation through these precious means of grace. He is with us right now, speaking to you through His holy word that your faith may be strengthened and preserved. And yet, look around and behold the multitudes who claim to be Christian but fail to believe that Jesus still comes. They don't believe that Jesus comes through His holy word and sacraments. They don't believe that His baptism, that holy baptism is His work, but that it is our act of obedience, they say. They don't believe that He gives us His very body and blood in the Eucharist, but that it is nothing more than a memorial meal which they're called to celebrate. They don't believe that faith is a gift from God that is created by God in the hearts of those who hear His word, but that faith is a personal decision of their will. Here's the question. Are they Christians? Would it surprise you to learn that for the first 1,500 years of church history, the answer was no? If you didn't believe that Christ still comes through His holy word and sacraments, you were declared a heretic and excommunicated from the church. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. You were simply not a Christian if you denied that baptism was a holy sacrament instituted by God in which He makes sinners His own children. You were not a Christian if you denied infant baptism. You were not a Christian if you failed to believe that the bread and wine of the Holy Supper was the very body and blood of Christ given to Christians for the forgiveness of their sins. That's just how the church operated. But all of that changed after the Reformation. For the first time in church history, there were teachers who arose who denied the means of grace Christ has established, and they gained a substantial following. And even though the man who was sent by God to spark the Reformation, our very own Martin Luther, spent his entire ministry pointing to Christ's holy word and sacraments as the means of grace he established to create and sustain faith, these false teachers passed through the door he opened and ran their own way. Luther was then forced to fight a battle on two fronts, one with the Pope and his church, and the other with these new radical false teachers who were creating a Christianity of their own imagination. Fast forward 500 years to today, and we still have this two-front battle before us, even though we often fail to arm ourselves and engage in combat. We'd rather just follow the advice of our modern world and live and let live. We'd rather just keep the truth to ourselves and let others flounder in falsehood. After all, we wouldn't want to upset anyone. We wouldn't want to do anything as controversial as engage in religious debate, pointing out the errors so prevalent in modern Christianity. That might make us unpopular, and we wouldn't want that. What has caused us to be so accommodating and so unwilling to defend the truth? Especially, my friends, when false teaching is more prevalent in the world today than it ever has been. Just as our Lord prophesied that it will continue to be worse and worse in the world, to the point where he asks, I wonder if there will even be faith left on earth when I return. What is it that has made us so compromising of our beliefs? Perhaps it's just our desire to avoid conflict, but maybe there's more to it. Maybe it's because we ourselves fail to realize how bad things are. Or, worse yet, maybe we ourselves are guilty of not recognizing the necessity and importance of the means of grace by which Christ still comes to us. Maybe, just maybe, we're guilty of taking His holy word and sacraments for granted. It is appropriate for us to ponder these things at this time of the year, my friends, for the season of Advent, contrary to popular belief, is a season of repentance and renewal. It's a time for us to take stock of our lives and realize how badly we're missing the mark, how sinful we are, and how desperately we need a Savior. It's a time for us to examine ourselves to see if we're eagerly preparing for our Lord to come. And if we examine ourselves honestly, we'll see the sobering reality of our sinfulness glaring back at us in the mirror. We'll see how we take the blessed truth of our Lord's continuous coming through His Word and sacraments for granted. We'll see how accommodating we become to the false teachings that surround us and how unwilling we are to defend the truth of God's Word when we're given the opportunity. And after seeing ourselves for who we truly are, sinners full of guilt, there's only one thing left to do. Repent. Turn around. Confess your sins and believe in the sinless one. For upon your repentance, dear friends in Christ, listen to the word of the Lord who comes to you right now to declare to you, even though you don't deserve it, I love you. You are forgiven and you have life and salvation in my name. There's nothing left for you to do. Don't listen to the false teachers out there, the ravenous wolves who come in sheep's clothing, saying that they bear my name and teach my truths, telling you that you have to find purpose in your life, exhorting you to live your best life now and promising you gifts and blessings from me based on your performance in my name. Instead, listen to my word and my word alone. You see, my friends, the good news is that Christ is faithful to His promises even though we aren't. He continues to come to be in our presence and give us His gifts through His precious means of grace, even though we often take them for granted. Rejoice at this, my friends, for Christ is ever coming to keep you in the faith, regardless of whether or not the world or popular Christianity recognizes it. Believe Him and receive Him. And then, my friends, share Him. You have been blessed with the knowledge of His truth. You know that He comes in the way He has promised to come. This has been revealed to you. The sacred mysteries of God have been made known to you. Don't be deceived by those who don't know. Instead, listen to His word and share your knowledge with others, that they too may see the Lord in His holy word and sacraments, and through them, as Cantor Resch so beautifully writes, receive the gifts Christ freely gives. In His holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for the canticle.